it.
Hang on, somebody's talking somewhere on either my computer or somebody else's computer.
Well, it's probably your computer.
It's probably yours.
It's probably a oh, it's a hypeable ad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're climbing a ladder, right? And it's you're climbing a ladder and you're looking to the left and there's chaos on your left. You're looking to your right and there's even more chaos on the right. It's a whole battlefield of terror. And your whole life you've been climbing this ladder, climbing this ladder, climbing this ladder. But you know what? You realize that the ladder is the only thing that has ever felt as real as it is required to feel for you to be able to climb it. And the ladder is all you have. And you keep climbing the ladder and you can't see where it ends. But you don't care because you know that if you were to stop climbing the ladder, you would fall into the chaos and the darkness.
What the hell?
There would be nothing.
Are you talking about Helm's Deep or our podcast, Game of Thrones?
This isn't in our in the book.
Yeah,
this
what is this?
The trailer. Have you guys seen?
Oh,
this
you're right. It is.
Trailer?
It is the trailer. You're right.
I'll be the trailer
God.
That we just planned to talk about at the top of the show.
Wow, we failed,
everybody.
Zach, you gotta play this on the show. Then the 41-second thing because it's pretty much the same thing I was just saying.
Yeah, no,
it's
we'll play it. It's
Littlefinger's voice, isn't it?
No,
it
I didn't recognize that at first. And you guys got some hatred over on Hapeable. People were like hating. They're like because
Hapeable,
Hapeable,
Hapeable.
No, because the news post introducing it says scary voice. But then somebody was like, oh, clearly you don't read. It's definitely – or you don't see the show. Definitely it's Baelish.
Well, to be fair, Andrew did write this. So
well, the other thing is like, look, it's Baelish doing a creepy, scary voice. Like I still think it is a scary, creepy voice.
Yeah,
listen,
you're right.
Listen to it. You tell me what he's thinking. He's like, yeah, he's talking with
us. All right, here's what we'll do. Let's just watch it together.
Chaos.
Danny's face.
The pit.
Tyrion's face.
Oh, it's Tyrion. He's got a scar.
Sansa's face.
But she looks older now. Try to climb it. Robert Pattinson's here.
It's Twilight, you guys.
Jamie,
oh,
that star.
So cute.
Seriously.
Oh, even cuter.
True love.
Oh, short hair.
Listen, Rob.
You're
it's,
here.
That was Rob.
That was Rob. That's snow.
It's snow again.
It's snowing.
The epic series returns.
Whoa,
faces. More faces. Slow down. Oh, main character.
Oh,
title card.
You totally missed the creepy voice, you guys.
The climb is all there is.
They heard it.
There you go. You got it? The climb is all there is.
Well, I didn't know it was like required material for anyone writing for Hypeable to have watched Game of Thrones.
You know how last year they used that Seven Devils song by Florence and the Machine for the promo? I feel like the promo for this time, the song they should use is Miley Cyrus's It's the Climb. Because that would be very appropriate.
Oh my God, guys. That would be so cool. I love
Miley.
God. Why isn't she on the show?
I know.
Miley needs to get on the show.
If she wasn't here, then I couldn't be on here.
She's so grown up now, though.
They haven't cast her on Thrones yet.
Not yet. Probably because she has a Tennessee or Kentucky accent, something like that.
No, I don't want to talk about Miley Cyrus, you guys.
Yeah, let's
seriously,
not talk about
there's
Miley.
Game of Thrones news.
She's getting married, Eric. Hands off. So, it's Game of Thrones. We're recording. It's been a small gap in time. We actually had Friday's episode recorded, and we actually had all intents to record normally
well,
on Sunday for Monday's
to be
episode.
Fair, you were lost in a haze of birthday awesomeness, so you're excused.
You guys know about Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. This was this was the sequel.
Yeah, pretty much. Circus. Anyway, all I have to say on comments of that is thank you to everybody on Twitter for being so sweet. More specifically, over to Selena and Eric and Micah for their nice words on Twitter. Selena wrote a little short story.
I did. I made you a feast of
was
tweets.
Enough, you have to share this short story.
Was it enough words for Hypeable for a news post?
No. I've been like 20 more tweets. Okay. So, for Zach. This is nice. We're bringing reading back. That's good. All right. Today, Zach Louis turns old. The occasion shall be celebrated with a feast of roast stag, pickled eggs, honeycombs, dipped in mustard, a selection of lemon cakes, bread roasted over the fires of Rollor, the tongues of kittens left to simmer in the milk of a goat for 36 full moons, a healthy pouring of the heartiest meads of Westeros, and cake. Enjoy.
You fit all that into a tweet?
Three tweets.
Three tweets.
Three tweets.
A trilogy of tweets. from me to you. There you go. Happy birthday.
I can't wait till we see the prelude next year.
I know.
And then later you can do 7, 8, and 9. And we'll get J.J. Yeah. Abrams can write them for you, though.
Oh, and Michael Giacchino can score?
Yeah, exactly.
Yay.
Did they announce that for Star Wars?
No, they didn't. I'm just...
I'm waiting for them to announce exactly that. You know, it actually has been a little while going back to what we were saying before, and I forgot what you guys look like. But since we're not on Google Hangout, I still forgot what your faces look like. But I remember now what the characters' faces look like on that TV show we used to love and talk about all the time.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Glad they reminded us.
Thing we used to talk about for Game of Thrones.
That show that we used to watch.
Yeah, there's a new trailer talking about season one. Season three. So you guys, I'm still recovering, okay? Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Anyway, so 3:31, that's when everything's happening, and this trailer's talking more about it because it's season three. And why not put out another trailer that cost about $50 to make?
Show off the pretty faces and Edward Cullen.
Yeah.
How do they get that much light in that room? It's like such a dark background. They're like, do you think it's a green screen and they made the green screen behind them black?
No, I think they just shot it in a room and then just put a really heavy vignette over them.
Yeah, they can create the entire Battle of Blackwater, to be honest with you. Stuff like this doesn't astonish me anymore.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. No, it's cool. And, you know, and Micah will complain, and he's not here. He's doing some NBA stuff out in the old state of Tejas. Mm-hmm. But this is like, we got a live action trailer this time rather than just some animation or a piece of text.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
That's a step up.
Maybe March will bring us some actual clips.
But you know what's funny is that we've seen clips because all the behind the scenes featurettes all have clips in them. You can put a trailer together from all of that alone and just stick the narration on top of it. It's very strange, but I do like this.
Game of Thrones challenge: take the narration from the first trailer, put it over footage from the behind the scenes videos. Right?
Sounds good.
Somebody's going to spend a lot of time actually doing that for you, Zach.
Well, they made you the Bieber thing, so come on.
Yeah, they did. They made me. Okay, I'll let you have this.
Right?
I'll let you have this, Zach.
So it's cool. And, you know, Eric went off in the beginning of the episode talking about the ladder and the imagery that it holds. And, you know, again, I think it's sort of like another allegory that Martin's writing where he's saying, hey, my show is basically just a play on life and all the things that are happening. But if you were to ask me about it, I would deny.
Speaking of deny, this chapter this week is Daenerys. I still can't spell it, you know, you guys. When I'm like texting it to you guys, like, hey, we're going to talk about Daenerys, I still can't wrap my head around how that word is spelled.
Why not? It's Daenerys.
Well, it's
rolls off the tongue.
I just don't know where to put the A and the E. If it's the da or the na.
It's the da.
Selena, in Eric's defense, back in our younger days, he used to still call Hermione Hermione.
I totally did not, because I only first experienced Harry Potter after the films. Why couldn't J.K. Rowling named all of her characters Rick?
Or Ron?
Yeah, just name them all the same.
That wouldn't be confusing.
Not at all.
This is Captain Ron. He's from the 90s. Anyway, and yeah, Danny had a chapter, and it was a very short one, as in like 5 pages.
Yeah, and apparently there was this tremendous clash of the calls, which happened, well, mostly off screen, but actually what I liked about this chapter is it's kind of an aftermath of this clash of the calls where Danny is walking through the fields of blood. Essentially, the blood is all over the crops and everything. And she is walking through, and all of these dead horses or dying horses are like neighing at her as she walks by.
I know, it's so terrible.
And all these women are like being taken out of their huts and raped. And
this is also terrible.
And Danny sees to it that some of them are actually saved.
This is so interesting because this is the first glimpse we get of Danny being this slave saver, if you will.
She's never going to live that down. Slave saver.
It's a good thing,
she's
though, really.
Slave saver you. No, if you guys remember from the show, this is something we actually got to see.
It was, and it was just as powerful.
Jorah kind of acted like the moral stead in this entire chapter and scene in the show. He was like, hey, you wanted boats? You want to do your shit? It's going to come with a price, you know?
Jorah was totally badass in this chapter. I completely agree. And I think at the beginning of it, when he first approaches Danny, she's walking through the fields again, and she remarks about his armor. And apparently, like, the Dothraki guys even in Khal Drogo's, I think it was in Khal Drogo's own camp, the Dothraki were making fun of him because he would wear armor, and obviously that's like a sign of weakness to them. And apparently whoever was making fun of him the most got a sword in his face or something.
Although I have to say, I mean, yeah, Jorah was awesome, but I think this chapter absolutely 100% belonged to Dany. I mean, she comes in, she's obviously trying to fit in with Dothraki customs, even when those customs are raping and killing and pillaging and being awful, awful, awful human beings. But she can't, you know, her dragon inside is righteous, you know, as opposed to like her brother who was just crazy and insane. And she can't stop herself from saving all these people, trying to save them in the best way that she can. It's fantastic. You know, just reading stuff like this, I'm like, oh yeah, I like Dany. This is why.
Yeah, you definitely, you know, and again, with this writing style of George R. R. Martin's, you do see her inner struggle about, you know, she does at first kind of move on from the woman who is wailing, you know, who's being raped. And she does walk on, but eventually... you know, and I guess they're heading towards the area where Khal Drogo sits victoriously. And on the way, she picks up four women. It's four women she saves. And Jorah on the fourth one is saying, you know, well, you can't save them all, Khaleesi.
Well done.
But yeah, she totally wants to. Like, she's into it, you know. And fortunately, one of them happens to be a doctor.
Well, fortunately / unfortunately.
He's like, is there
Doogie
a doctor?
Howser.
Here's the other thing is, you know, judging by what we know, what happens to Khal Drogo, you really just have to wonder if this Shadow Vag wannabe was worth saving.
The Khaleesi has baby inside her.
I know all the baby music. I know Rockabye Baby. I know Wheels on the Bus.
Well, she clearly wasn't.
They go around.
Worth
the
saving.
Hooves on the horse, they go up, they go down. Down, down, down. I don't know the rest.
I'm sorry, Selena, what were you saying?
Yes,
no, I was
ahead.
Just saying she clearly wasn't worth saving because, I mean, as good as Dany was in this chapter and as kind and big-hearted she was, ultimately it ended up costing her everything. So,
you know what it kind
of
reminds me of? Mm-hmm. And I think it might be symbolism here, but it kind of reminds me of American diplomacy into other parts of the world where we don't necessarily agree with their customs. And we kind of like stuff our noses into it and say, hey, you can't do that because that's weird here. But for all intents and purposes, what's happening with this sort of takeover, you know, this is what they do. This is a normal thing for these people. Of course, I think she was totally in the right stopping everything because it's freaking crazy. This is a pretty graphic chapter. There's bloodshed in a lot of different ways. And yeah, it's what Jorah says sort of says it the best when he's like, hey, you truly are Rhaegar Targaryen's sister. And then
yes.
He just listens to her. It's like she's so tough and she's so instilled in her values. Like she knows her place as the Khaleesi now, but still she's like, I don't give a shit. You're changing this stuff up now.
Mm-hmm.
She asks Khal Drogo to have his men marry the women they want to rape. Like that's radical stuff. Like, it's totally...
it's bodacious.
Like, for us, it makes sense. But
oh, yeah.
For her, it's totally, totally radical.
It makes
like,
that's how it is in America. We just have to...
but he's
oh,
like,
you must marry her. And now you can rape all you'd like.
If you like it, you put a ring on it.
Beyonce said it best.
Beyonce, yes. Daenerys parallels. I love it.
Khaleesi, Beyonce. But really, though... you know, to Khal Drogo, he's just like, well, this is what happens after war. Like, we own them now. You know, it's just not... But he takes her side, and here's another situation where she speaks in his language, which she's learned. I can only assume she speaks completely fluently at this point.
It's just pillow talk, man.
Yeah, man. And she's all like, you know, do this for me. And he's like pushing his own men back. And it's just totally cool like to watch this. And it's a shame because apparently, and we discover this, Drogo has been injured more than, we were led to believe earlier in the chapter. I say that, but it's like two pages ago. Jorah says, oh yeah, he took a few hits, but really he's missing a nipple.
He lost a nipple, guys.
I have to ask you guys, do you really feel, and Selena, don't spoil us, but do you feel
okay.
like Drogo's severed nipple is going to play a role in the later books?
I believe that it will. I believe that it will. It's imagery, right? We'll just leave it at that.
Do you think that it's worth something to have like Khal Drogo's nipple, like, can we find that on eBay?
Well,
like currency?
You know, in the next chapter, not to jump ahead or anything, but one of the wild people gather ears. So
ears,
yeah.
Yeah.
Are you talking about The Walking Dead?
It's for all those ear transplants that taking place.
No,
in
I
Westeros.
Just mean if you gather ears, I'm sure you can gather other body parts.
Yeah. But like, whatever becomes of this nipple? I'm going to ask. I've decided that's going to be the question I asked George R. R. Martin. Like, he's missing a nipple. Okay, where did it go?
It was burned with his body at the end of the book.
Oh, that's a cop out. That's something that George R. R. Martin would say to me, and I'd say, yeah, right.
And he'd be like, thanks for reading. Who else do I need to sign here?
Well, yeah.
Then I'd feel terrible for wasting my question.
The cows have to be buried with their nipples.
They do.
Otherwise, how will they find wives in the next life?
Oh, shit. So listen, he killed people on his own. He killed the other call, and he killed the other call's son. Both have fun names. I'm going to go ahead and just read them.
Ogo and Fogo.
Kyle Ogo and Kyle Fogo. And I call him Kyle Fogo because once Ogo was slain, excuse me, got them mixed up. Once Ogo was slain, Fogo was slain soon after, but he definitely, he was the call for like, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe. Maybe 5, depending on where he was.
That's what you would call a lame duck, I think.
Yeah, he's a lame duck. And then, but the funny thing is like Daenerys, in her kindness, and in her general sort of saint-like behavior during this entire chapter, she praises him. She's like, hey, good for killing them, though.
Yeah. And then, of course, getting back to this witch doctor lady who has been saved by Dany. Dany has this unusual – not really unusual, but she has this false trust in this woman, you know, which obviously leads to, a downer, a different path. But basically her own people – and this is where she kind of fails – is – she judges her people for being the rapists that they are and doesn't really take into account the fact that this woman may not exactly be as helpful as she is going on about. Like, here's the thing. Here's what really got to me is when Khal Drogo is being carried pretty much by, I almost said Selena. That's really funny. By Dany to the tent.
Oh, I like that. You can call her Selena. That's fine.
I almost said that just okay because of that chapter art, that show art that we had before. But really, though, when he's in the tent and she's getting to work and is talking about don't use milk with the poppy, don't use this, don't use that, he's telling Daenerys that she doesn't have to ask this woman for anything because she's a slave. That's like going into the dentist's office and talking bad about your dentist's family to other people right in front of him. Like, this is your doctor. This is the woman who's tasked with saving your life. You're going to tell Dany, oh, yeah, you don't need to ask anything of her. Just command her. She's a slave.
He's like, my braid's really long, so we can tell people stuff. It's true, though.
Yeah, but everybody else is like, dude, his braid is really long. He can just tell me stuff.
Exactly.
It's culturally, it's understood.
It's a different world.
A lot of references to sheep and the sheep men and the sheep men that lay with their sheep. That's just the end of the sentence there. A lot of stuff I think Micah would like if he were to be on this episode with us. But in the end, and what were these people's actual names? I'm trying to pull this up here. The Nazigadiwa.
That's how you say it.
Lazarine. There it is. Lazarine.
The Lazarine, yes.
They have fallen. And actually, it's interesting because Jorah comes and is like, hey, we may still get 10,000 people out of all of this. And that's just a lot of slaves to be hauling.
It's 10,000 more than they had.
That's a lot of people. 10,000. Like, it's funny because when you think of the Dothraki, you think of them as like maybe a few hundred traveling through the desert in this pack. But I mean... thousands
maybe if we
and
get
thousands
more budget.
Of people, you guys. Yeah, a bit more budget for the TV show. There you go. They only found 10 people, really.
Well, we have 10 people that look like they could be Dothraki, and the rest of them are just wearing hats. So, no, it's a good chapter. It was short, but there's a lot of things that happened to it. I mean, essentially, the gist of this entire thing is we're learning through imagery that war costs, that big goals and desires in this story come with a price.
Let's go to owns.
Yeah, let's do that. There's own-worthy things in this chapter. I think that depending on what kind of person you are and your personality personally, you might think certain things are owns over the other. But I would have to give my own to either the Blood Riders, who was giving – they were giving Dany shit about healing sheep, and they named her a Magi. I'm going to just call it that. Or I'm going to have to give it to Drogo for killing both generations of the calls.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
What you got?
It's like a multi-generational murder.
Well, yeah. I'm actually going to join Zach and just pick two. And I hope I don't take your quote, Eric, here, but I do. I want to pick two because
I hope you don't.
I couldn't choose because in this chapter, Dani is just fantastically awesome, but she's awesome in two ways that reminded me of other characters and other works of fiction that I also think are awesome. The first one was that she totally pulled a John Locke from Lost when she went.
When she went,
I am Khaleesi, heir to the Seven Kingdoms, the blood of the dragon. It is not for you to tell me what I cannot do.
Don't tell me what I can't do.
Don't tell me what I can't do. My dad doesn't love me.
Yeah. So yeah. All she needed was the wheelchair.
All the best cowboys have daddy issues.
There you go.
They do.
And then the next one that was that she also went Lord of the Rings and pulled an Eowyn going, I am no man. So, wow. And that, I love that moment in general because I love the fact that Khal Drogo was like, I don't lean on anybody. And then she's like, but then lean on me. And it was a nice little, you know, for the Drogo Dany shippers, it was a nice little moment. And you got to say, she's like really, really pregnant here and she still carries this massive man. Like halfway
that is the
leaning
other thing
on her.
Is she super points pregnant. Out, she says to the doctor or whatever you want to call this lady, like, I'm close by, like, I'm almost gonna have a kid right now. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, she did this whole chapter and she was like so very pregnant. And, you know, you just remember the passage of time, like, it means something when you're having a child. So it's fairly important that every subsequent Dany chapter, she will be closer and closer to giving birth. So my own is actually. Chalk one up to score one for prejudice, but not that prejudice in itself is own worthy, but here's a quote. Across the road, the girl was still crying, her high sing-song tongue strange to Danny's ears. The first man was done with her now, and a second had taken his place. She is a lamb girl, Quaro said in Dothraki. She is nothing, Khaleesi. The riders do her honor. The lamb men lay with sheep, it is known. It is known, her handmaid Eerie echoed. It is known, agreed Jogo, astride the tall gray stallion that Drogo had given him. All this, it is known.
It is owned. It is knowned. You know, it was represented. Yes, I like it.
I just like how everybody agrees somehow that it is known.
It is knowned or known?
It is knowned.
Too bad Zach is missing this. I can't
you're
stop.
You're going to enjoy this. You're going to enjoy this when you're editing in the editing room.
Are you back?
No, I can't hear you. Damn it, this is weird.
This is ridiculous.
What is happening to me? What is happening
okay,
to me?
I'll intro.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Beep, 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 beep.
What is love?
I can hear you guys now.
You can hear us now?
I don't think you can.
No.
I think he comes in and out. Hello to Zach of the future. Are you sitting down? I'm psychic. Are you looking at your screen? I knew it. Don't laugh. It's not funny. Yeah, I thought so.
What are you doing?
I'm talking to future Zach.
Oh. This show is going to have an entire show of just outtakes.
Hello, I'm Tom Zarek.
Hello, Zach from the past. We just spoke
just
to your future self.
Conversation, and it like went
it's doing it again.
Oh my god, he has no idea. We're just talking at him and he won't know.
Game of Owns own Southern Belle, Selena Wilkin, now reads our tweets in 90 seconds or less.
So Mary Larson says, Game of Thrones fans who live on the East Coast, winter is coming. Lewis says, Pacelle told Cersei that she had not lost a son, but rather gained a daughter. George R.R. Martin borrowing from Python. Python quotes. Miss Lane, beware of people pissing off the wall. Sound advice,
Look
Lane.
Out, they might be paying y'all.
Michael Cerrone says, Goo is the best, wittiest, most entertaining podcast in the Westeros world and does some fancy math for us. Four hosts, the three podcasts, the seven, great listening.
Hell.
I'm sorry if your finer points are lost in my accent that I can't seem to shake. Caroline J. How exactly did Varys the Eunuch get a place in the small council? It only speaks to his craftiness and intelligence, if you ask me.
Eric, quiet down that pup over there.
That pup is just reacting to the lovely sounds of that there lady.
There
that
you
there
go.
Woman.
We call them southern women we're from.
Away, his poor little doggy canine heart.
Aw, I do want to get this one from Mary D, though, who says, I should do another one. Just listen to Walder DeFray discussion on Game of Owns. MG Tannenbaum gets major own points for not spoiling anything. you see, this is going to be the one Texan listener we actually have.
And that right there, if you're all listening, make sure your headphones are turned up, was Selena Wilkin reading the Twitter.
Yay.
All right, what's next?
See, we just didn't want you guys to feel left out because Mike is going to be down in the South, so we wanted you all to feel like you were there with him.
We're totally there with him. With some, get some MBA. Get some MBAs going on.
Get your MBA, everybody. Study up. This is Game of Bones. If you feel like writing to us, if you don't want to suscept yourself to Twitter scourging or whatever what we just did was called, you can send us an email. It's at an email address. I think that the email address, it's lost on me at the moment, but perhaps Eric could help me out with
Very
it.
Very hard to remember.
It's going to be contact. Contact, like that movie with Jodie Foster.
Yes, strong here it comes.
Strong woman.
Why not use jokes again on Game of Bones? And if you do want to use the ones you used again, you can do it on Twitter. Just send us a tweet, Game of Bones. Tell us about who's your favorite. Maybe how cute Eric is. Perhaps how adorable Selena is. Or perhaps how scary Mike is. It's all there on Twitter. We're looking at it with our eyes.
You know,
most
just
of the time.
Like this, just like this chapter was all about girl power with Danny, we got the episode where Selena just gave us that remarkable performance.
You can't shake the accent.
It's remarkable performance.
Remarkable performance. Selena. That was a little bit. Now it's a little bit more Gone with the Wind. It's remarkable.
Frankly, Selena, I don't give a damn, okay?
Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
I don't give a damn about your accent.
I need to watch that movie. All right, guys. Yes, so twitter.com/GameOfOwns. We're on Facebook, Game of Owns. Contact at GameOfOwns.com is our email address. And rate and review us on iTunes. 5 stars only, or else.
5 stars.
We're or not else we'll make you deep. Climb the ladder. And be careful, because it may be all that you got.
It's not the corporate ladder either, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of those ladders that have no end. It's like
this is the ladder of chaos. And to be honest, I just remembered the Rose Sushik Ladder Company from the Santa Claus.
What? if you don't have 75 stars or more, then our ladder is never ending.
It's like that staircase in Super Mario 64 where you go to get up to Bowser and you're like, man, the third Bowser, this is it, this is the end of the game. But if you don't have at least 100 stars, the stairs just keep going.
It's almost like that's what I just said. Game of Bones, everybody, redundant. It's a show. We reduced, we redone. We're redebutantes.
Peace and love and Cheerios.
Happy New Year.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I'm Zach Louie. I'm old now.
Bye, old person.